Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I know it's ironic, but I live up in Blaine, and I'm pretty sure Paul Douglas is personally responsible for the lack of snow. I can't prove it, but I heard it on Facebook. What's Paul hiding?
My malfunctioning Doppler radar is responsible for our stunted, delayed spring. I want to apologize to you, Jordana, to you, DJ, to our listeners. I think it's my Doppler malfunctioning that is responsible for this lack of degrees, the snow squalls, perpetual February. I'm as disgusted as everybody else. I like winter. I'm pro-snow. But by the latter half of April, no thank you. Let's get into spring. Let's savor all four seasons. It's coming.
Are you just trying to get back on our good graces by promising 80 next Saturday?
That's what the European is saying, and I'm going to go with
right.
it. Until proven otherwise, but
that gives me hope.
The European is saying 83 degrees next Saturday, the 23rd.
Yes.
Am I buying that in entirety? No, but the trends are pretty consistent, and the European has been hanging in there with at least 70s starting Friday of next week. So, man, we need this warm front bad. So I hope.
Well,
it's
I'm
right.
looking forward to it, and I. You know, as disgusted as I was, the snow has stopped outside my window, and there's almost like the sun wants to come out. So, like, I'm feeling hopeful, hearing the forecast, looking at that sun that sort of wants to break through the grayness. So, today is a good day. So, happy Thursday to everybody and to you guys. We have a packed show today. We are going to talk with Harry Kasnisis, the senior director at the National Center. The Center for National Interest. It's a think tank. We're going to talk with him about Ukraine. We're going to talk with a fellow in the business, fellow for the Business in a Digital World expert to talk about technology and bias. Yeah, it's not just us. Technology can be biased also. Maybe your Facebook algorithm is feeding you something. If you're trying to be anti-racist or trying to be one thing, maybe it's feeding you something else. So we are going to talk about what we may be getting fed and how to stop it. So that is coming up in this first hour. But and also Elon Musk and Twitter. Why would he want to buy Twitter? I don't know. Would you want to buy Twitter?
Because, hey, look, he's brilliant, obviously a genius, probably has an IQ well over 200. But I also sense he's a bit of an egomaniac and a narcissist. He's worth hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, $43 billion for Twitter? Okay. And he thinks he can improve it and perhaps, you know, get back to truly free speech, where anything goes, where you can say your mind and, you know.
Even hate speech, even like, is that that's what I was questioning today when we heard that he was offered $43 billion. I mean, I guess he has $43 billion, but he offered $43 billion to buy Twitter and take it private. And I thought to myself, he claims, you know, he can do more for free speech. But what exactly, what more is he doing other than allowing speech that goes against Twitter violations, which there are some really horrific trolls on Twitter. So if it gets worse than that, I'm not sure it should be allowed to be aired in public. So what is he hoping for? Does he want the Proud Boys back on Twitter? Does he want Trump back on Twitter spreading misinformation? I mean, what does he want?
I mean, you're entitled to free speech, but you cross the line when it's hate speech, when you're inciting violence. And that's... that's where I have a problem with. If that's what he wants to do, hey, anything goes, say whatever you want, no consequences. I think a lot of people would have a problem with that. I'm not sure that's where he's going, what he wants to do with the platform. Maybe he just thinks it's a good investment, a good tech investment. They've had trouble making as much money as investors would like at Twitter. So what do you do to make it more of a moneymaker? Who knows?
I've been thinking about this a lot today. And I also reminded myself and wanted to share with you that we have the power over Twitter, by the way. It's not somebody who is making us look at Twitter. We can dethrone Twitter as an information source or a source of misinformation or lies or hate speech by just not being on Twitter. The public... people made Twitter as popular as it is, and we can undo that as well. So if people don't like the idea of Elon Musk owning Twitter or there being hate speech on Twitter, which I certainly would not like, we can just get off Twitter. You know, there's lots of other sources of information. I mean, that is truly capitalism at its best. It's how it should function. If we don't like something, we just don't have to buy in. We don't have to use it. You know how many people have un-Facebooked themselves, have gotten off Facebook? I mean, I'm still on, but I don't look at it that much. I look at it for some of my leukemia support groups, but I don't look at it that much. And it has taken some of the power away from Facebook. And we can do that if we don't like it with any social media. It can be TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram. Whatever you don't like, you don't have to be on. So I want people to understand their power, their role in this. We can unsubscribe if we choose.
75% of Americans are not on Twitter. Okay? The vast majority of us are not.
Yeah.
So when we come back... the implications, what would happen if NATO actually got sucked into a shooting war with Russia over Ukraine? We're going to talk to one expert who's done war games, and the results are not very encouraging when we come back on CCO. Happy Thursday, Paul and Jordana and DJ. Thank you for joining us today. It's been 50 days since Russia invaded Ukraine. In the latest blow against Moscow, Ukraine claims that one of the Russian Navy's most important warships, the Moskva, has been hit by cruise missiles fired from Ukraine. Russia is just saying it caught on fire and that it's still afloat. By the way, this was the warship that called on Ukrainian soldiers stationed on Snake Island in the Black Sea to surrender in a standoff. In a widely circulated recording you may have heard, the soldiers respond, "Russian warship, go bleep yourself." And now apparently this warship is either on fire or possibly at the bottom of the Black Sea. We're not exactly sure. But what we wanted to do was to reach out to an expert about where this all may be going. And Harry Kazianis is that expert at the Center for the National Interest. He is the senior director, military expert who has modeled war games, simulations between Russia and NATO in the past. And I wanted to invite him on to get his input into what I perceive to be a very slippery slope if NATO gets sucked into a shooting war in Ukraine. Harry, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you. What did these war games show you? You state that, and I want to emphasize this, that if a war between NATO and Moscow were to break out, nuclear war is nearly impossible to avoid. I found that terrifying. And can you just provide a little more detail on that assessment?
Oh, absolutely. I've been doing these war games now for about 5 or 6 years. And I'll be honest, we did them almost as an academic exercise because, to be honest with you, we never thought that a war between NATO and Russia could potentially break out. But we always thought it was important to do the research, do it anyway, just in case that possibility happened. And what we always found is that when that kinetic contact happened, and usually it would happen because of an accident, an accidental missile strike, or, you know, another war in Eastern Europe creating the possibility of that NATO-Russia war actually breaking out. What ends up happening was is that Putin does not have the capability to beat NATO in a conventional sense. In other words, not using nuclear weapons or chemical weapons or something like that. So what always happens in every scenario we fight, the Russians are forced to use what are called tactical nuclear weapons. In other words, smaller weapons that were used in Hiroshima. And every single time, millions or billions of people die in the process.
Harry, it's Jordana. Can you explain to us, and forgive my naivete, but describe how you walk through a war game? How do you do a war game? How do you come to the conclusion?
That's a great question, Jordana. We've done a number of different ways. We've done them old school on a big tabletop in offices in D.C. and also out in California. We've done them on computers, and not very fancy computers either, like home-based computers that you'd buy at like Best Buy or anywhere. And basically, we would model the software based on, you know, what different type of simulation we want to run. And we always get experts who have either been a policymaker or been close to policymakers or maybe have like a PhD in Russian studies or something like that. And we try to use people who have really good knowledge of, you know, what might be in Vladimir Putin's head or at the time what might have been in Donald Trump's head to try to mimic what their reactions would be. And honestly, it gets really scary because you end up getting to situations where you try to play this person and what they would do. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to be accurate, but the thing that we've always bumped into is anytime NATO and Russia got into a war, it always ended up being millions of people would die because the Russians would always try to compensate for those problems in its conventional military and having to use nuclear weapons. And we're seeing that today, that the Russian military can't even beat Ukraine. And when everybody thought that they would just walk right through that country.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, we're talking with Harry Kazianis, and he is the senior director at the Center for the National Interest. So what do you tell friends, colleagues over a beer, over a glass of wine when they ask you, what's the off-ramp? How do you think this is going to proceed? I mean, how long can NATO and the United States keep funneling hundreds of millions of dollars worth of arms to Ukraine to do the fighting on the front line? And doesn't Putin have a kind of a vested interest in drawing NATO into this battle to score points, popularity points with the public, the Russian public at home?
Well, the next few weeks are going to be very different than the last few weeks that preceded it. We are moving into a phase now in this Donbass or eastern Ukraine region where it's very different terrain that was fought over the last few weeks, like in Kharkiv and Kiev. These are very flat, farm-like sort of rolling plains. Think of prairies almost, basically. And that's going to lend itself to big advantages for Vladimir Putin because he's going to deploy his tanks, his armor, the stuff that he's been training on and building up for the last 20 years to really make the Russian military shine. Unfortunately, the Ukrainians do not have a lot of armor or advanced weapons to counter that. They've been doing really well in fighting in urban scenarios. You know, that is what one place where they really shine and where the United States actually helped train them. But now the Ukrainians are having to go into a situation where Vladimir Putin has the advantage. So we're going to give them a lot of anti-tank weapons and different defensive tools that will help them try to sort of blunt this advantage. But I think we're heading into a situation now where you might see the Russians start to gain a little bit more of the upper hand. Ukrainians are going to start asking for more advanced weapons. And you can see that. We're actually going to be sending Ukrainians for the first time artillery. We're starting to send them tanks from other countries. So this war is starting to grind down into a level of attrition that it's really getting to a level that we haven't seen in Europe since World War II.
And again, I know predicting the future is hard, probably impossible in this case, but when you look into your crystal ball, could it be that, eventually this leads to the annexation of much of eastern Ukraine, and there's some sort of a DMZ, and the western part of Ukraine stays free and democratic, and that we have kind of a new Cold War centered on Ukraine going forward?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly where this heads. I mean, the Russians are very good at fighting conflicts, not always winning, but carving out a piece of territory and then having what everybody calls a frozen conflict. In other words, a conflict that might not be a full-blown war, but having very clear lines where artillery fire is exchanged, sniper fire. That's what's happened in Georgia, in Transnistria, in around Ukraine, and in where the Donbass is. The Russians love these little low simmering conflicts where they're able to take little slices of territory that are important to them, but not have it be an all out war. I think that's exactly where this is headed. And I think you're right. I think you will see essentially a cold war between NATO and Russia where both sides are armed to the teeth, and, you know, another potential powder keg could explode at any time. And that's what makes this dangerous, because it'll be a pressure point in Europe, an ulcer, if you will, that's never going to go away. And that's what makes it even more dangerous.
Harry, just one last question. What does this mean for Americans? What do we need to know? I mean, do we play a role at all, and can we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I there's a great debate that's happening within the country right now on what should actually our foreign policy be. I mean, you have conservatives who are actually fighting this battle now. You know, you had a lot of people, you know, conservatives like Donald Trump, who said, you know, America should put its interests first. And a lot of people called him an isolationist, and I don't think that was very true. And in Democrats, you see the same exact debate happening. You know, where should America put its dollars? I mean, let's face it, the country's $30 trillion in debt right now. It's very difficult to argue to spend even more money on defense. And this year alone, if the budget's passed, we're going to spend $800 billion on defense. That's actually more in inflation-adjusted dollars than we spent during the Cold War. So I think if there's one good thing out of this, we're going to have a very vigorous debate on foreign policy and what we should actually be doing around the world. And I think it's about time we do that.
Okay. National security expert Harry Kazianis, Center for National Interest. We sure appreciate your perspective. Thanks for joining us today on CCO.
Thanks,
be well,
Harry.
And we'll be in touch.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Harry.
I mean, it's troubling, but I guess we have to face this new reality that, I guess, Russia is going to play a larger role in Ukraine, or they're going to get some piece of it at some point.
But again, for me, the big takeaway, Jor, is that, I mean, look at the problems they're having with Ukraine. NATO would crush a conventional Russian force, you know, with our air superiority and all of the capabilities that the 30 countries in NATO bring to the table. It wouldn't even be a contest. So again, Kazianis, Harry just basically said that at some point, all these war games, Putin has no choice but to use tactical nuclear weapons, because he can't win in a conventional war with conventional munitions. He would have to resort to tactical nukes, and then everything's off the table. You know where that could lead.
That's terrifying.
So trying to avoid that scenario. Okay.
All right. Let's take a deep breath and take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk technology. What is your algorithm feeding you that you may not want to see? That's next on CCO.
70s late next week, a shot at 80, maybe the weekend of April 23rd, 24th. Please let that be true. Let the European verify, please, just this once. I'm anxious to get out and enjoy my yard. I'll bet you are too. And thank goodness for ProTurf. They've been around 40 years in the Twin Cities with the experts to turn all your landscape daydreams into a reality. And they hate weeds just as much as you do. And by the way, they use scientifically proven products, liquid and granular, for amazing weed control and prevention. They have their own staff of designers. You got some ideas? Stuff you want to do in your backyard? If you do it right, investing in your yard can yield up to a 100% return on investment when you go to sell your place. They also have amazing irrigation service techs with 15 years experience who can work on any sprinkler system. See the ProTurf difference, commercial or residential. Call them. ProTurf's number is 952-469-8680. See their work online, professionalturf.com.
So catchy. So good. makes you want to get up and dance and get off your phone or get off your social media and do something fun. But alas, my friends.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We do look at social media. Many of us, some don't. As Paul mentioned earlier in the show, 75% of Americans claim they are not on Twitter. I think some of them are lying, Paul, but whatever. That was a recent poll. And we know the algorithm feeds us stuff. We know the YouTube algorithm, its job is to keep us there as long as possible. We know that the kids on TikTok are being fed what they have already looked at, what it knows that they have liked. We get it. But we didn't realize how, well, I'll speak for myself. I didn't know that artificial intelligence and algorithms can be biased. Joining us now is Grant Reavy. He's the Executive Fellow for the Business in a Digital World at Opus College of Business at the University of St. Thomas. He's also a Chief Technology Officer for Vibrant Emotional Health. That's a nonprofit that supports the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. Grant Reavy is joining us now. Welcome to the show, Grant.
Thank you.
So explain how an algorithm can be biased or racist or in any way have, I guess, kind of an opinion.
Absolutely. Algorithms primarily learn the same way humans do, through experience and data. And so the way any human would encounter bias from exposure to the environment or people around them, algorithms learn the same way. Essentially, these systems are all trained on historical data, and that data all contains bias of the past, the ways that we've behaved in the past, the things that we've decided in the past. And so any algorithm is going to contain that, because all they effectively do is reproduce past patterns unless we tell them to do otherwise.
Interesting. Grant,
well, wait,
this is
does
Paul.
That mean that, well, hold on, oh, Paul. Sorry. Does that mean that they're not really biased, or because they're just regurgitating what we told them that we like? So, in fact, if it's sending you racist comment, that means because you're telling it, you're racist and you like that kind of content?
Well, they reinforce the pattern. So it's not like, as you express it here, but if, let's say, in the case of Facebook, a racist comment gets lots of attention, the algorithm in Facebook that brings new things to your attention on your homepage is going to bring you more racist comments because it knows there is a likelihood for that to get more attention.
I see. Okay, got it. Thank you.
So, Grant, the platforms basically reward anger, right? Emotional, visceral reactions. What's going to keep you engaged on Twitter or any platform? Chances are it's going to be something that makes you angry. You know, kitten videos, maybe, but most people stay longer because they're upset, they're angry, and that's what keeps them going. And frankly, that's how the platforms make money. If they're ad supported, right? The angrier you are and the longer you stay on Twitter, the more ads you're going to see or promoted posts. And so my question to you is, when it comes to engagement, is this a function of bias from the developers who created these programs? Or is it purely past behavior, past actions, predicting the future and how you might engage down the road?
Well, that's a complicated set of questions. So let's break it apart a little bit. So in part, bias is looking at past situations and predicting what is likely to get you engaged. That's one piece here. So if we see something, be it a racist comment or something that's likely to make you angry, that causes more engagement, then the algorithm is incented essentially to reproduce that. Now, what causes people to engage and stay present is actually a different function, right? And I'm not particularly an expert in that domain, but we do know from what we see in social media now is that generating a strong emotional reaction, predominantly anger, causes people to stay on those platforms more. And that's true in the case of Facebook and Twitter, more so than it is in the case of something like YouTube, which is designed to get you into topics where you sit there and watch, you're mildly entertained enough to keep clicking on the next video on the playlist.
Right.
So a little bit different in terms of bias versus what causes people to be, let's say, addicted to the content that they're being shown.
What you guys studied this at University of St. Thomas. What should business leaders and CEOs and even, you know, personal users know about this research? Can we stop it? Can we change it? And now that we have this knowledge, what do we do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of talk about AI in business right now. And some of it is negative in the case of social media, and some of it is very positive in the case of sports or maybe other applications like that. I think the first question from a business lens is to ask, you know, why am I getting these results? So there's a famous example where Amazon had built an AI algorithm for hiring, reviewing candidates. And the result of that algorithm was that all of the candidates rated most likely to be successful were all white cisgender men. And that's because historically the candidates who were most successful in the organization were white cisgender men. The question we should ask around why am I getting these results is, do these results reflect the intention for my organization? And if we ask that question and we see the results, we can actually go back and treat the algorithm differently. I can ask it to exclude gender or race or other self-identities as a construct from the algorithm. So that's one thing that we can do. Just ask, why am I getting these results are the ones that they want? From a personal perspective, when we look at what we're getting algorithmically from social media, if you're not seeing things that make you think a little bit, if you're not seeing things that make you a little bit uncomfortable, and I'm not talking about anger, I'm talking about different viewpoints here, you're likely caught within a bubble of confirmation bias in your social media, and you should step back from it and go seek out other conflicting sources of information, which is really hard to do. We're so inundated with things that are subject to our own confirmation bias, that feel good to us. We've in some way forgotten how to deal with a little bit of friction with another viewpoint and how to engage with it and think about why might the other person feel that way or think that way.
Yeah. You mean we should actually change our minds from time to time? You touched on something, Grant, that I think you nailed it. Most Americans don't want to be informed. They want their own current beliefs confirmed. And that's, they're looking for quote unquote information that confirms what they already believe, as opposed to, oh, there are new data points. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should consider changing my mind. You talked about this, you know, inoculating ourselves as consumers of information, cast a wider net, right? And I think that's tremendous advice. And I sure appreciate the work that you're doing and your team at the University of St. Thomas. Grant Reavy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's interesting. That's great advice. We know we should be doing that. And now it's confirmed that there is research on this. But it's interesting how businesses can use it, because I'm sure businesses use technology lots during their job searches. And I hope they are aware of this research, and I hope they are casting wider nets or just adding in that human factor of, okay, this is what the computer says, the computer spit out based on research. But, you know, is that who we want to be in the future? Is that what we want to look like? Do we want different voices at the table? Or do we want to just go with what we've been doing forever?
Or do you want everything you did in the past to dictate your future? Well, you know, Paul did this, and he ordered this, and he went here, and he went there. And you, that becomes the template going forward. That's the best guess for what Paul will do tomorrow, what he did yesterday.
That's right.
And, you know, I get that, but that's the limits of artificial intelligence. And computers are good. Hope I don't live long enough where they're smarter than we are. They're getting there. We'll see. Okay.
We'll be right back on CCO.
It's been a tough week for President Joe Biden. First, we learned that inflation is at a new 40-year high. Then, when he went out to Iowa to talk about ways to lower gas prices to try to help, he was upstaged by his lapel, because during the speech, a bird appeared to poop on Joe Biden. Look, folks, this is the kind of story Late Night was made for. In fact, Steve Allen started The Tonight Show in the 1950s to talk about a pelican guano bombing Ike. So covering this recent incident is The Late Show's duty. Well, it's the bird's duty, but it's our responsibility. Here's... way ahead of me. We're way ahead of you. And that bird is now the Republican frontrunner in 2024. Yes.
Okay.
So I watched it. I don't know if you got to see it, but I watched it. And the president is speaking, and literally a piece of just, it's white and creamy, and it falls right on his lapel, and it breaks, like it hits him like a bird poop would on your windshield. But they claim they were in, one of the reporters tweeted out, because I still am on Twitter, I'm one of the 25% of Americans, that it was in like a corn processing plant. And there were these bits, David's nodding. I don't know if you've ever been in a corn processing plant. I certainly have it, but
this,
like, bits of corn juice or whatever, like, falls down from the ceiling every now and then, or like spits out of some of the pipes and whatnot. So it was basically falling on all their heads the whole time. So they claim it was corn juice or something.
No, I'm going to go with the bird theory. But I want to know, where was the Secret Service? Why didn't a Secret Service agent lunge to protect President Biden? I mean, that were they?
They're not that good, my friend. And I think he's on his own with bird poop, right? They don't get paid enough for bird poop. Bullets, maybe, but not bird poop.
Have you been pooped on ever? Just asking for a friend.
I'm sure I have. From a bird. Yes, I'm sure I have. Have you? I guess, and a child, kids, right? You.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I remember those days.
This is a fun conversation.
I'm sorry. Off the rails, as usual.
We will have some good news. Laura's good news is she's going to join us at 4:08, Todd Walker at 4:20, but the news is next on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.